danger page.
You know, and the nice thing is once you have no idea what it is you want
right.
until you experience what you don't want.
There okay? you go.
And you have no idea how good you have it until you've right. been screamed at by an idiot boss or his girlfriend who is now your boss.
You're listening to The Angry Designer, where we cut through the industry bull to help frustrated graphic designers survive and thrive.
We haven't had a bottle of Jura for a little while.
And it's so damn good.
Right? It is, right? You yes. see that? You see Jura, guys? Like, look at this color. This is whiskey copper color. Look at that. Look yeah. at that, right? And it's good. It's a 12-year single malt scotch whiskey. You know, that's what they're calling it. And it is. It's nice. It's at, like, a ridiculous price point.
It's
like,
affordable, too,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's good crazy
scotch
affordable.
And it's affordable.
And it, but is it even scotch? Well, I guess scotch whiskey is scotch, right?
Yeah. Is it from Scotland?
It must be. I wonder. It has to be, right? Yeah, the Isle of Jura. Jura. I'm not Jura. Sure. A rich and rounded balance of subtle smoky notes with a sweet cherry cask.
Yeah, you can smell
hey,
that. As,
you can,
as
you, eh? See, now you really say that. Nice. Mm-mm-mm.
That's good stuff.
So then, my friend.
And down the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh. See, that feels nice,
that's
right?
Nice
that's little good. Bit of peat, nice little bit of smoke to it, smooth, little bit of a bite.
Just a tad.
Enough, right? Yes. To make you feel like yeah. I'm drinking something manly or strong because women can equally drink this.
That's right. Yes,
right? Not, right? Yeah, yes, because yeah. we are cool yeah. that way.
We like manly women anyway. So.
That doesn't say much for your wife.
I know. Poor Angie.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to slap you, buddy.
She will. She'll be mad at me.
So, Sean.
Yes.
I like your t-shirt, buddy.
I like your t-shirt.
Thank you.
What's going on?
So, we have like the best angry designers following our podcast. And we have this one guy, Sons of Thunder Studios. Okay.
I like it.
And, I mean, I... Always amazing illustrations, right? Mm-hmm. Illustrators, these guys have been following us since almost day one. Like, I remember seeing them from the beginning. Yeah. You know, number one, the name is pretty memorable, but then the art style was yes. awesome, okay?
Yes.
And every time it was around Halloween, they would create the most amazing, like, you know, gory, zombie-like, horror-type vintage t-shirts, right? Like, look at this.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Like, you know, and it's not the only stuff they do, right? Like, yeah. the vintage, you know, vintage cool monster stuff. But they yeah. did this every time, you know, a pop legend moves on to the
oh,
next life,
no.
right? I can always count on these guys creating, you know, an illustration to kind of, you know, memorialize them,
oh.
right? Like, and it's just, you know, and it's funny because it's people like wrestlers, oh. rock stars, right? People that have just left such an impression on yeah. the pop culture, 70s, 80s. So I love it. And I was like, listen, dude, I need some of these shirts because every time they're coming out with these shirts, you know, and they're always for a local event and I'm not in Pennsylvania. So.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, that's...
And sure enough, I guess, you know, by saying how much I love these damn shirts, we got some shirts.
Oh,
we got
happened.
Some posters of these shirts,
nice.
Which, you know, are going up on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys even created a poster for us.
Yes.
Like of us. And I think it's a 3D poster. I'm still looking for 3D glasses.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
like, I mean, we got to get this shit framed.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
so
these
cool.
these prints are going up on my wall.
Yeah,
there's no question.
Sure.
I've already got the frames ordered, you know, and it's amazing. But, I mean, how much do I appreciate this shit?
Yeah,
right?
This is really good.
It's just neat that, you know, we have so many talented people, you know, that follow us. And,
yeah.
and I mean, I'm talking people that just put me to shame.
Mm.
I mean, I can't come up with anything even remotely close
kidding.
To
I wouldn't
this.
Know where to start.
I know. So I recommend everybody check out, you know, one of our angry designers,
yeah.
Sons of Thunder Studios on Instagram, and our boy Jason Cortez. I mean, I that's who I've been talking to. Now, there might be two of them. I suspect
yeah.
there's two of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, love this
if
shit.
The Bible hasn't lied to us.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. But I mean, again, I can't thank them enough because this is
awesome.
Really, really cool
thank
shit.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Yeah. So I mean, check these out, right?
Yeah.
You'll have to see them on YouTube, unfortunately,
yeah.
right? But yeah, but by all means, just check out the Instagram and you'll see for yourself how awesome this shit is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But in light of this scary concept. No. You know, I figured let's just play out this scary thing. Ah. We've done scary things about the industry, scary this, scary that. And there's this one area that we haven't really touched on scary. And the reason why I think this is really fitting is because I saw this post on Reddit. And I felt bad afterwards because I really kind of nailed it to the guy, right, for even posting it. But somebody went out there and they posted this whole thing about they're done with graphic design. You know, they went to school. They always had this dream of being a designer, but they had like a bad boss and then they worked for a bad studio and they're just done with the industry and this, that. And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. I was kind of pissed about it because I was like, just because you had a bad experience, don't turn your back on design on a whole.
Totally.
Right? This is just, you know, kind of, what is it? Like what's the term? Cutting your teeth on this kind of shit?
Yeah. But it's also like, I think it's how badly you want it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like from my experience, mm-hmm. this is all I've ever known. Ever since I was a little kid, we've talked about this.
Yep, absolutely.
All I've wanted to do is do this. So
agree.
There's a stick-to-itiveness that I had that I just couldn't let go. And I was like, this is the only thing I'm good at. And I'm just going to try.
Seriously, right? And again,
it's paid off.
Poor
guy, I just kind of feel bad for. Like if you don't, what's that adage Wayne Gretzky used to use? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
You never take, right?
Right. Exactly. So if you're not in this field, you're never going to get
exactly
any
right
any further ahead.
Exactly. And I mean, again, it's the choice is always up to you how to handle this, right? And like how you're going to dictate your next step. Well, while you may not be able to control the environment around you,
that's
and
right.
control the actions of others, you can control your own fucking action.
You can control your own destiny,
right? So like I mean, my first two experiences. Where literally, you know, I don't even think, I'm surprised I made it through, you know, in order to get to this place. Because, like, let's think about it, right? So, college, number one, okay? You know, we all know that how much I love college, right?
Because
I had a fucking prof tell me I was never going to make it in this industry, right? So, I was like,
wrong.
You, buddy, right? So, strike number one. My first job, okay, that I wasn't even finished college yet. Okay, was I was the in-house designer at a watch manufacturer. Okay, and I was doing their packaging designs. I was doing their watch designs, their label designs. It was a really cool fucking gig to learn, you know, fresh, you know, and I wasn't even finished college yet, right? But I was the in-house designer. And then as soon as I finished college, I just basically continued on working there for like, you know, months. And horrible place to work.
Really?
Okay. It was a toxic environment. There's two bosses. One boss, I really liked the guy. Mm-hmm. The other boss was just the biggest asshole. and he thought he was such a sly business guy, but he was a jerk. And it's funny because his wife would come in to the office, blast him in front of all the employees. Oh, she was a bully to him.
Oh.
And what would happen is then he'd be an asshole to everybody on everyone. And I was just like, you know, dude, you're getting. I kind of laughed about it, right? Because it's like, no matter how much of an asshole he was, I snickered because I was like, I know why you're doing this. And you should see him. He was just such a cowering punk, I tell you. But I mean, again, this is somebody who would micromanage me, right? Yeah. This was somebody who told me to make the black 3% darker. He didn't like it. He thought he was a nothing. Okay. He was a nothing. His work sucked and everything. Everything about this guy was evil. In the end, it was just, I just didn't show up. And I was just like, fuck you all. So that was the first job, right?
Yeah. Did you quit? Like, did you actually physically quit?
100%. I stopped going, right? Yeah, I did. So I leave this place, right? And then a few months later, I'm like, okay, well, obviously I had to get into another job right away, right? Because I was hungry.
Yeah.
I went to an agency.
Nice.
Okay. And this was a small, you know, startup agency. It was like 2-3 years. This was my forte into the whole business-to-business world, right? And when I started, there was only three of us. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was the owner, the sales guy, and then I was the first. And it was really cool. It was vibing. It was a cool little, you know, studio space. I really enjoyed it, right? And I did learn a lot from him as a creative director, right? He was a really cool guy, and it was good. So all changed when he hooked up with, he rented an office in his unit to a girl who did a video business.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And she just minded her own business, did that, right? Well, sure enough, over a little bit of time, he was kind of an attractive guy. She was not an attractive girl. But regardless, there was some sort of chemistry between them, I guess.
Wow.
Needless to say, they hooked up. Well, then she became my boss.
Oh.
And you know, I think it was just because she was around, right? So now she started, and I'm like, dude, you're not a creative director. He was,
yeah.
You know, and I'd be like, I'd always go to him advice. So when she, and she would chirp in this way and she would speak with this fake English accent. She never even been to the United Kingdom and in England, wherever, but she would speak sometimes when she'd want to direct you, she would speak with a little bit of an accent
no.
all of a sudden this, and he would just be like, Why are you talking like this? It was horrible.
Wow.
Needless to say, it just started becoming such a shitty environment because, you know, they were growing, you know, like as an agency, we were growing at a pretty good pace and yeah. we hired on some more people, but she was just not a good employee. She was horrible.
Yeah.
And I think the final straw had it the one week where it was like, you know, I came in every day early, about like 8 o'clock every morning, right? And granted, it's 5 day work week. But I had to leave Friday at 3 o'clock for some reason. I forget why. I think we were going away for the weekend or something, right? We were young, foolish, and fun. So I came in an hour early every single day, and I was leaving Friday at 3.
Yeah.
And something had come up, and she wanted me to work late, and I was like, "Sorry, remember, I got to leave at 3."
Yeah.
And she had the balls to be like, "In a time when we need you so much, you're leaving early. I just can't believe you're doing that." And she left it at that. And it was like the final fucking straw. The owner, the creative director was outside doing some sort of art bullshit. And I was like, I'm done. Yeah. I went to him and I went to talk to him. Right. And I was like, "Dude, I'm sorry. This isn't working out anymore. You know, this isn't the place." And I was really nice about it because I really did like and respect him. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, I can't do this. This isn't the right. And he's like, "Well, what's going on?" He's like, I know Commissioner. I was like, "Well, no, it's not just that." I said, "But it's not a big," and I didn't want to say anything. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause I knew he's sleeping with her. So, well, doesn't she come out? And she's like, "Moss, is everything okay?" And of course she starts talking all calm, like she's a best friend.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just looking at her and I'm like, "I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get and engage in this." You know, she is 100% the reason I couldn't do this.
Yeah.
And he did tell me at one point how she is a part of the company and she's irreplaceable. And I was like, "Dude, she's nothing, but whatever." So needless to say, come that Monday morning, and this is a Monday morning thing for me, right? I just didn't go in.
Yeah.
I went in early. Yeah. I took my computer.
Yeah.
Okay, took it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Took my computer stuff, right? And that's it. Left a note.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they called the cops. Cops come to my door and like, "Did you take a computer?" I'm like, "Yeah,
it's my computer.
Yeah. And sure enough, the cop who came actually knew me.
Yeah.
She knew me. Like, she actually knew my brother who knew me. And I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "It was my computer I took. This is my computer." My mom's right there. She was like, "Oh, we bought him that computer," whatever. And she's
receipts.
Like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Let me guess." I go, "She talked to you in this fake English accent." Blah, 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 blah. So needless to say, and the cop was like, "Yeah, she did." And I'm like, "It's not even real." So needless to say, after all this, this was shitty. So these two horrible experiences back to back. Okay. And you know what I did? Right?
Started.
After that second one, I said, "Fuck this."
Yeah.
I started Zed Factor, took half their customers. And I didn't even try. They came to me.
There you go.
And that's what I used as motivation to get the fuck out of here.
Right?
I realized two bad, shitty things. I knew I loved design, okay, but I didn't want to have to put up with this anymore.
Yeah.
So I bounced and I started my own gig because at least this way, you know, I back to back shitty experiences that I couldn't control. And I was like, "No, I'm going to control my destiny."
That's right.
I always wanted to do this anyway. So that was what I did. I didn't turn my back on design.
Yes.
I was like, "Fuck that," right?
But see, this is the kind of stuff where it's sad. Like I listen to stories like that and you think like, And I wonder just how, you know, how can you not, how can you not be so motivated like you were?
Yeah.
And say, like, even I was like, "Fuck this. I'm going to go freelance."
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
At the very least.
Yes.
Try. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me how you could just say, "Oh, I give up."
Right.
You know?
I know. And again, because you're giving up on the wrong thing.
Yes.
Right? Like, this is a pursuit of passion.
Yes.
Graphic design, being a designer. I don't even care if it's graphic design, what design, right?
Whatever.
But this isn't a 9-to-5 job. This is part of you. You know, who you become, who you are. We talk about this being your life, like your lifestyle.
Yes.
Right? Like, you don't
cool shirts.
It ain't cool shirts. This is who you become. Yeah. So there's no reason why anybody should be like, no, I'm done with this because somebody else was mean to me or that environment sucked. You know, I think that those people who back out just, I don't think they had it. They would have found another reason to kind of give up.
I think that's exactly it. There's some sort of block or some, you just, you're so upset with the way things are right now that you can't see past the situation that you're in now.
Exactly.
But there are other options in this business.
You know, there is. And let's face it. I mean, this business is not, I hear just as many shitty stories as good ones.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. I don't know what it's going to take. And I'm sure there's just shitty environments, whether it's an accounting company or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like in our space, what do we hear? We hear like 12-hour work days on a regular basis. Like your buddy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He worked at a very reputable agency here in town.
Very reputable, very large.
And I was, you know, and I worked at the newspaper at the time, so it was an all unionized shop, so we had it really cushy. But I was fascinated by the agency life because,
of course,
I hadn't really experienced that
from the outside in. It looks fun.
It looks great, and it just like
and that place was pimping.
That place was pimping. They did really awesome stuff. But I remember talking to him, and he was just like, "Yeah, I work till 8 o'clock every night." Every night.
Every fucking night.
And I was
night.
Like, oh, that's horrible.
I know.
And you know, I'm just thinking, you know, you don't have much time, much free time, but the agency life must be so awesome that you would end up doing that kind of stuff. But I think it has a reverse effect. I think it kind of burns people out.
Absolutely.
Chews them up and spits them out the back. And I don't know much about that agency, whether they had a high turnover or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Did they?
Oh, and not only would they have a high turnover, but they would shrink and expand based on the clients that they had.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
So they would all of a sudden go from 50 to 80 employees because they got a big contract. They got a huge contract. They'd hire 30 people. And then a year later, if they lose that account or another one, well, guess who gets chopped?
Oh.
They were notorious for that. Like they would, you know, expand and contract by like large numbers, more than our full agency.
Wow.
Yeah. So
they would have no problem laying people off after a big job.
Exactly. They would have no problem. So again, that's horrible in that sense, right?
Yeah. But I guess also, if you look at it as an experience point of view, you've got that on your resume.
At least you're right. The experience was there. You can take that, but hopefully that would be enough of a jarring experience that you could be like, screw you guys, I'm going somewhere different.
There you go.
So there is, and you have to admit, big agency, small agency, big difference.
Yes.
Right? But both equally can be shitty.
Yes.
Look at the other agency that we worked with, you know, and we work with them sometimes in Vegas, sometimes in Pennsylvania, wherever.
Yeah.
And what were they saying? Like when we went to help them out, on those couple times, it was like 12, 14-hour days. And they were like, just another day here. And I'm like, what?
Sitting at the table, talking to these poor employees.
Yeah.
Just saying, and how nonchalant they were about, well, this is how we do it. Like, and I'm just like, coming from what we come from, where it's like,
we're organized, we get shit done.
Yes.
We clock out at 5:30 every day.
Yes.
I know, right?
It's just like, I was like, I don't know how anybody would not want to fix this.
It's quite the crazy experience.
It is.
And it's shitty on the industry sometimes for putting this out there as though it's part of what you should expect.
Yes.
Okay. But the reality is nobody should. Looking back at my, you know, from when we started till now, you know, while I've never been a slave driver, while I've never been an asshole boss, you know, there's other places I could have brushed up on. And I never really thought about it until I started making all these lists about, like, you know, what makes a boss shitty or scary. Scary boss, okay? So, again, scary theme, scary bosses,
scary
right?
Shirt, scary.
Like, but the reality is it, like, negatively affects the creative environment. And
right.
I'm really big on creating the right creative environment.
Right.
We have background music, even though nobody listens to it. It's sometimes it turns into like Muzak or something. No, it's lo-fi, everybody. Sometimes it goes lo-fi and it's just a repetitive beat that skips on a record all day long.
Yes.
But it's just part of the vibe, right?
Yeah.
We got artwork on the wall. We, you know, we goof around. We have open conversations. It's really important, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, where I think some of this, you know, scary bosses, you know, they're opposite. They're almost, they don't want to give you too much and they want to instill almost this environment of fear.
Right.
That's horrible.
Yes.
You know, like, why would you want to, like, fear that you could lose your job, yeah. fear that you might be looked down on.
Yes.
You, like, that's just,
yeah.
dude, that's horrible.
That is horrible. And I wonder if there's, like, a thought of, like, in these people's minds that there's, you're disposable.
Well, they make you feel that way.
Yes. Like,
right?
Like, I could replace you like that.
Absolutely, you know right? Because it undermines your autonomy, right? Like, exactly. you can't do this on your own. I have to do this
I'm
for you.
Responsible for
I'm,
you.
Yes. I'm the boss. And they always put it back on the whole, well, it's the customer. I'm doing this for the customer.
Right.
But oftentimes these guys, which is what they give the customer, isn't even good.
Yes.
Because they have no clue what the hell they're doing, yep. right? They're taking the good shit that you create,
yep.
make it bad, present it, and come back to you and say the client didn't like it. And it's yeah. like, well, no shit, the client didn't not. Fucking like it, right? And I mean, what happens? This cycle over and over, this whole fear and everything, decreased morale across mm-hmm. the place. Productivity goes down, right? Yeah. There's no question that creativity goes down.
Yeah,
burnout goes up.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
it's just, I don't understand how these people can be this way.
It doesn't, yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And it's like we talked about with this organization, we're flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives people a kind of responsibility to the end result.
Absolutely, it does.
Which, when you take that away and you have like a tyrannical kind of
yes,
rule,
yes.
people don't want to put in any kind of effort because they're scared of what could happen
to
them.
And that's true, really. Right?
Whereas we can kind of operate with like, hey, you know what? Let's try this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, so you've got that creativity,
yeah.
excuse me, that's, you know, That's kind of ingrained, kind of baked in with what we do.
And I think a good shop needs that.
Totally.
I find it hard when, you know, in talking to Dan from Lincoln, okay?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
got a big shop as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like there's no question that Dan's a creative director.
He is.
From Lincoln Design, okay, there's no question that Dan's a creative director, but it seems like Dan's a creative director. And it seems, although everybody has different skill sets, some mm-hmm. really focus on fonts, some are illustrations, it seems like they also run pretty flat.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I don't know how, but these bigger agencies yeah. start becoming tiers, you
yes.
know, and this person reports to this person, which reports right. to this person. And I can see how that quickly gets out of control because maybe the creative director is a nice guy,
mm-hmm.
but maybe the account manager is a dick.
Yes.
Or your art director is, you know, a horrible boss,
yeah.
right? A scary boss.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like it's I love the flat concept.
I think so. I think that works best. And I would agree with you 100% on that because I thought there was a lot of parallels listening to Dan and your story.
Yeah. Which, oh, I mean, dude. Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that guy, he's kind of like one of those dudes where I'm surrounded by a lot of high-powered talent
yep.
here. And
yep.
I am going to use that, and I'm going to learn
mm-hmm,
from that,
mm-hmm.
which is what we talk about all the time. It's always learning in this environment.
Exactly. He could have gone the other way.
He
could be like, holy fuck, this company has got my name on it, so I'm going to manage these guys. I'm going to squeeze them for
yeah.
their creativity. I'm going to, you know, micromanage mm-hmm. everything to them, right?
It's Lincoln Design. This is my company.
My company. And yeah. But it's not.
No.
Right? And we asked him about that, right?
Yes.
We were like, do you get intimidated? Do you
yeah.
do you ever push back? And he's like, no, I got amazing people. I know what I know.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do. We work together on yeah. these projects. So,
as cliched as it sounds, like he's a guy that puts on his pants one leg at a time.
Yeah,
you know
right?
what I mean? Like, and he's very, very grounded, very realistic, and I think that's why he's successful.
Absolutely,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
it is. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these times, it's like, you know, when you get these environments where it's like there's a power struggle and you got
mm-hmm.
bosses, you know, they never feedback
no.
clearly
no.
on shit,
yes.
right? Because they don't know it themselves. You get these account managers who give you shitty direction, and sometimes we experience this with customers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing to experience it with a customer,
mm-hmm.
but in your own agency, when you're all supposed to be on the same team,
yeah.
it's really frustrating.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
yeah.
And then that completely disrespects the creative process,
mm-hmm.
right? Because again, they're just like, just do it this way,
yeah.
just get it done. And then all of a sudden, you know, us as graphic designers are supposed to be, you know, creating, but we're not. We're just taking orders. And we're just like monkeys at this point,
yes,
which
right.
I think would be horrible.
Which may not address the problem that you're trying to solve, right? So, yeah.
Absolutely,
this
absolutely.
This is not good when you're just yeah, being a monkey. And
then in these environments, things become really inconsistent because then the account manager's looking out for his own ass, right? And then the art director's asking for something else, a creative director something else. And you're kind of just sitting there scratching your head like, how the hell do I even get through this, right? Right. You're through these shitty bosses, these scary bosses.
These scary bosses.
I know, I keep saying, you shitty know, because they're shitty bosses, right? Even though this started as scary, let's face it, they're just shitty, right?
It is kind of scary in a like obviously your buddy at the beginning there who decided, I don't want to do this anymore. So he was frightened of something, right?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say buddy, but
the dude that
couldn't hack it anymore.
You know, I think, you know, once these things start spinning out of control, right? These bosses or whoever is above you in that case, you know, there's this lack of recognition that you're getting. They're taking all the credits.
Right.
And you get nothing in the end.
Right.
Right. Which I can imagine that being extremely frustrating.
Yes.
For a graphic designer in that kind of environment. Not that we have to be coddled. In fact, you don't expect to be coddled all the time.
No.
But in an environment, how many times do you sit there and praise Tally on something awesome, right? Or, you know, Angus or Caitlin. Like, I mean, if people are cranking out good shit, it's like, that was awesome.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because, I mean, you want that. But again, it's just not, it's not the way these people are wired because they're not looking out for the team. Yeah. They're trying to create this whole culture based on fear, you know? And it's like, well, hey, if you make me look bad and the customer's not happy, we're both losing our job. So you push me up the ladder, right?
Like, exactly. Or conversely, if you fuck up, you're the first one under the bus.
Assholes. It's so true though, right?
It is. It is. Yeah. Whereas we collectively take on any kind of, you know, missteps or anything like that we've done. It's all... You know,
well, I mean, and again, there's kind of, right? Because that's all part of this.
Yeah.
You know, and I think another thing that makes some of these bosses like horrible is like, you know, obviously this whole overworking thing we've talked about, right? I don't understand how anybody puts up with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, when there is a problem, right? Mm-hmm. They got a really shitty way to resolve them.
Yes.
Okay. Like, it's like, oh shit, they fucked up. Well, okay. We'll watch it for next time. And that's it.
Yeah.
Right. They don't remember. They don't bring it up. And the problems are happening constantly.
Yes.
And then again, by doing that, right, nobody actually, you know, takes any sort of accountability in that situation, right? Where you need to, if somebody fucks up, step up and be like, sorry, that was my bad.
Yes.
Right. I think I've admitted when I've kind of messed up a few times.
Yes. And
regularly I do.
I'm the same way too. Yeah. And I should adapt that my last statement. It's like, we do take the blame for stuff, but it is an individual thing. And I always find that if I did something wrong, I will cop to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's the way to do it, I think, really. Now that I think about
it. Well, I mean, again, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you're pretty damn good with that. And you never make mistakes.
Buddy. I do. No, I
no,
do.
No.
I make a lot.
Stop. You're good.
But again, like what you were saying is if you don't learn from that, then you're just going to repeat the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And if your boss is saying, you're not going to pressure you on that kind of stuff, then you're never going to learn.
Yeah, there's no fair enough. But maybe it's because there's some favoritism going on.
Oh, and here we go.
You're my favorite. You're fine. You can't do wrong, Sean. It's everybody else who backs you up here. That's a clear tell sign. The boss is an asshole because unfortunately,
this is true.
You don't do that. Imagine.
I'm gonna start addressing everybody in an English accent now. Look, Tally, I didn't think you should be.
You can if you want, but you ain't getting me in bed, okay? That's the thing. You are not betting me.
Damn it.
FYI. So all this, though, and again, even dealing with that, even the shitty experiences I had. Okay, so at the studio that I was working at, the studio was so toxic, right? Because obviously everybody knew that, you know, they were sleeping together, right? Everybody knew that's why now she's all of our bosses. Mm. And everybody knew she was not, you know, qualified to be their bosses.
Yeah.
So it just created a horrible, toxic studio. So that's the other side. So, you know, although he was really good, and I did like him as a creative director.
And how unfortunate is that? That you lose a great kind of potential mentor.
Yeah. And that was both companies. Because even the first company, the one guy, there's two, even the first, one guy was great.
Yeah.
The other one was an ass. So it does, it doesn't necessarily mean that the boss doesn't have to be a scary boss or a shitty boss. It can be something else in the environment, right? You know, and whether that's like, you know, lack of respect, you know, within, you know, within the team itself, right? Because people started seeing it and everybody started realizing it. We were all on our own, right?
Yeah.
You know, that changes that whole vibe. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you get this toxic, you know, sometimes you enter a studio that has this crazy competitiveness, but not promoting each other.
Right. Yes.
Literally trying to get praise, you know, trying to like outdo the other person, throw people under the bus. Yes. Like that happened. And that would be a horrible environment to work in, right?
I know. Sad. We have a bit of a competitive edge, but it's helpful.
Mm.
It's very encouraging, I think. Like, I like our little logo presentations or website presentations, because I look at stuff and I'm like, fuck, that's a
right
idea.
And that's it. And what do we do, right? So we do those when we make everybody in the team create their concepts and we present them to everybody as a group.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it holds everybody accountable.
It does.
Right. So you can see if somebody's slacking.
Right.
You see it.
You see that.
But it's always constructive criticism.
That's
we
right.
talk about it together. It's like, hey, you know what? Try this. Gives everybody a chance. I ask everybody to present it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
so
yes.
we can all talk about it and it improves their skills. Some people need it more than others.
Yeah.
Like that presentation skills thing, right?
Yeah.
And then again, it's just, you're right. I wouldn't even call it competition.
It's not. That's the wrong word. But it is, like, I think in my own personal experience, I'm sitting there doing this. I'm thinking, I really want to impress everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Cool.
But it's a competitive thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
No.
You want to kick ass.
Well, because
I
again,
think everybody thinks that.
Because the way we operate, really.
Yeah.
Right. We are we're only as strong as our weakest person. So
right.
everybody tries to help out everybody
right.
equally. Right. And you see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no one man for themselves here.
That's right.
Everybody. Where some places, you know, there's this toxic competitiveness where it's like you got that one egocentric person,
yes.
and then you get people who backstab one another, right, to try to like get to that spot,
mm-hmm.
or fucking people start becoming cliquey.
Oh,
I can't stand that.
Yes.
Right, this kills a creative environment
totally.
When you and we had a hire once that had that potential to do that because then she was just she'd cling on and it's just like, dude, no,
try to poison the well.
Tell everybody, even when we're interviewing, I'm like, this is not that environment.
It is not. No.
If this is your thing, you'll be singled out and like ejected really fucking quickly.
Big time.
Because again, I don't want to have to babysit people.
No.
And this isn't that environment, right?
Yeah.
We don't want gossipy rumor taking,
no.
right? Spreading and you know, this is not a drama place.
No.
You know, and it's funny because it's like, I hate to say it, but it's like, even, you know, I get sometimes employees have issues mm-hmm. at home and stuff. And this is a great environment, safe environment. But this isn't still the drama environment. You don't bring that drama here either, though.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
You always have people to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is a safe environment, but this isn't a drama environment.
Right.
This
is kind of one of those spots where you leave that stuff at home and you come in and you focus on your job here.
But let's face it.
Yeah.
We know if something's wrong with somebody.
This is true.
They're free to talk and we help everybody. Shit, we have somebody who's taking an awesome trip out on her own to overcome her anxiety.
Yes.
And we have been the biggest supporters
like,
of this.
Go, you go.
Right? So it's like, again, that's what we're, that's a good thing.
That's
right?
a great
You
thing.
Want this kind of environment. Fuck, another thing, bullying and harassment.
Ooh.
Bullying especially, right?
Yeah,
like that happens in a lot of studio environments when you're dealing with egos and people with some. Thank God, I've never experienced that here.
Not here. No,
no,
I was just
no.
Say, dude, your first story was a bully.
Well, the first story was his wife was the bully.
His wife was the bully.
But she liked me.
But he
so
in
I'm
turn
okay.
bullied you because
he
was being bullied.
But you know what?
Classic bully.
It's so true. But I laughed. I laughed. I was like, you can try
that.
All
you
want,
that.
But
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, you knew that. You saw through that.
I remember the one time she yelled at him, turned around, walked out. He looks at her and his head goes down. He turns. He sees me looking at
him.
I'm in all. And then he looks at me and his eyes are like, I'm going to fuck you up. And I was just like,
you're
sorry,
working,
sir.
You're working late tonight, you bastard.
Because I saw that and I was just like, wow.
Oh, shit.
Oh, dude.
Oh, that's so awkward.
You know, yeah. Needless to say, I mean, I still gave 100% there, and that wasn't an issue, right? Yeah. But I think some environments could go the other way, and people, that negative, toxic studio environment could result in like a lack of commitment for people.
This is true.
Right? They don't want to commit to a project, to timelines. They let down team members, mm-hmm. which then stresses out other team members. Right. So
picking up the slack.
And it's funny because we're lucky on the flip side because, you know, we had an unfortunate employee who maybe wasn't holding up, you know, their end. Mm-hmm. And what was happening is our other employees here were picking up their slack on purpose because yeah. they didn't want the whole studio to fall. And when I heard that, I was really pissed. That's when I was like, okay. I was pissed, number one, that they were trying to, you know, instead of coming to me, they were, you know, and making excuses for the bad employee.
Yeah.
They were just kind of like, no, we'll just do it because we don't want to fall behind on everything. And I was like, dude, come talk to me.
Okay, yeah.
Because then this person isn't holding up their end. Right. And needless to say, they were gone within like 2 weeks after that, this is right?
True. Yeah.
Like, again, you need people who will commit to the bigger team, right? And again, the wrong environment will create a lack of commitment amongst people, which then fucks everybody up, you know? And then I think I think in these big environments, when we talked about this whole drive for profit can also be blinding.
Right.
You know, and I did hear a lot of experiences like that where people were like, you know, all they care about is awards and the bottom line and making more money. And it's like, it's almost kind of like losing sight of why you're doing this in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
So especially the awards thing that changes everything altogether. But, you know, sometimes the higher ups, if they're removed from the creative side, they're just focusing on the bottom line, mm-hmm. which really messes up that whole creative environment that creates a toxic studio.
Big time.
On Reddit, dude, it's like a free-for-all. Reddit is great because I do love Reddit. People just, they put all their dirty laundry out there because nobody has their name that's on there, right? And the stories I heard, right? Like, you know, people being forced to bring in their own computer. Okay. Or get this, that's one thing. But then they were expected to pay for their own Adobe software licenses, which is ridiculous. So then it makes me wonder, is this similar to what I was doing? Like, are they just being hired on as contractors and that's the excuse?
Yeah.
But like, that's just brutal, dude.
That is. That's really shady.
Oh, God.
Please, the software.
The software.
Come on. Like, I can see the computer. That's.
Oh, no.
But still, even.
Somebody else was like, you know, mentioned that they worked at a place that was constantly asking them to copy another agency's work and call it their own.
Just use these guys. This guy's
literally.
Stuff.
It's like, I want to be like them. So just copy this. That's pretty bad, right?
Holy
You know, they would be constantly ignored. You know, they would ask for help on something. It was ignored. Yeah. They were like, hey, I need this. Like, that's a horrible, horrible, horrible environment, right?
Man.
Instead of being taught, they were asked on, you know, like, we need you to, you know, learn how to do this. And instead of them, you know, being taught how to do something within the company, they were just like, oh, just look it up. Just, I don't have time for this. Yet, when you wouldn't do it their way, then they had the whole fucking, they had thunder coming down on them, which was horrible. Right? It was unbelievable. Right? There was this one person who said that the boss was literally screaming at them, telling them that the quality of their work was so shit that they were embarrassed to give it to the company. Yet, the week before, they gave him a raise. So it was just, wow, right? And he's like, I guess I was being singled out. Needless to say that he walked out. But that was the whole story. But
jeez.
I mean, I know, right? Like, it's just, this shit actually happens, right? This one was fucking really bad, okay? So this one person said that their studio owner created a website to make them look like they were a female-owned agency.
Oh.
But in fact, they weren't, which I couldn't believe.
Oh.
That just felt so low, right?
Yikes.
You know, here's somebody else was saying how the bosses were a husband and wife team, and they were constantly giving them contradicting direction and feedback. And the guy actually said that the wife fired him, and then the husband was like, no,
you're staying.
It's just like, can you imagine being in this kind of environment? I was just, wow.
So how do you explain that then? Like, you're sitting there and the wife's like, I thought I fired you.
Yeah, oh, right. Well, come back. Well, how awkward is that, right? Well, your husband.
Talk to each other.
Oh, horrible. Geez.
That's awful.
And last, but somebody said that, and they, needless to say, they did not work for this studio, but I thought this just gives you an idea of what the studio's like. Mm. They made someone come in for an interview.
Yeah.
Okay, interviewed them for an hour and a half, portfolio, right. Chat, this, that.
Yep.
And then at the end of the interview, they said, well, there's actually no job here, because he was asking about the job. They're like, well, there's actually no job. We just wanted to see what the local talent was like and who's out there.
Oh.
So, again, can you imagine, like, they had no disregard for, or no regard for his time or anything like that. Like, I just can't. So imagine what working for that company would be like then.
And this guy took the time to.
A big, long interview, answering like he was, showing everything.
And all he was doing was showcasing what he was.
You know what? At least they could have been a little bit more upfront and just said, hey, you know what? You know, we're not hiring, but we'd like to see what. I think if somebody was to preface a conversation and be like, we just want to know who's out there when the time comes. We know if we need, at least that. But I mean, they didn't say that till the end. They made the poor guy think that he was on a fucking interview.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
That is horrible. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's worse, the women-friendly website
or
doing shit like that.
Yeah, they both are equally bad.
They're
right?
Both terrible.
Oh, geez.
That poor dude.
So, you know, I think, you know, I can't say that I have much feedback on how to avoid these kind of places, because again, I'm trying hard not to create that place. And, you know, granted, maybe in the past, you know, in certain things I had to learn, like being clear, being a manager, you know, being able to handle conflict and stuff. And in the end, I just created the team that we didn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But
smart.
What I figured is, you know, a couple recognizing the signs type things, right? So, you know, clear red flags that I'm going to leave everybody with on how to avoid these kind of environments,
right?
Okay, before and, you know, even during, right? So, like, number one, you know, if during the initial interview process, right, the job description is really vague, or the responsibilities are vague, or the goals vague, right? This kind of, you know, alludes to the fact that maybe they're a little disorganized,
right.
Okay, and they're not even sure what they need.
Yeah, I applied for a place that had a shit ton of, and I had all these qualifications, but literally it was like a page and a half of what. We
oh,
want
I've
you
seen
to
that.
Do. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, it's incredible how much stuff I have here with this job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember being in the interview, and it was about an hour. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, this is pretty good. Then those fuckers end up changing the scope.
Oh.
Completely changing the job description, and it's just like, you bunch of assholes.
Can you imagine, right? Not only are they expecting you to build websites, you know, do graphic design, do infographics, be a copywriter, learn SEO, but then throw in being an account manager, an accountant.
Yes.
And do dishes.
And do the dishes, clean the toilets, you know.
That's well, at least you can't fret them for not being or that's for being true. Vague.
But in retrospect too, I think that was a huge red flag, and I'm kind of glad I didn't get that job.
Fair.
So it would have been awful anyway. But
Other red flags during the interview process, okay?
Yep.
If they have negative language, or they gossip about people in the industry,
right.
You know, what else is, because they always ask, you know, so what else are you seeing out there? Tell me about your employer. Yep. If they start snooping around for stuff like this, it's kind of some early signs that might be that indicative conducive of the environment that you might be entering.
Yes.
Okay, so be careful of that, right?
Yeah.
If you find out they have excessive turnover rates, huge red flag, right?
Out of
burnout, all kinds of, there's all kinds of warnings with, you know, anything that comes along with that.
This is true.
If they mention anything about hours, you know, they emphasize that there are long hours, we have long days, right? If they talk, we're the opposite, and I stress how we are so not that place. But if they warn you and start mentioning, you know, long hours, long jobs, long this, long that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared, because that's probably the environment that, you know, is going to be a regular thing. If they're warning you up front, it's going to be more common than the occasional weekend that they talk about, right?
Yeah.
You know, if they don't really give you any sort of sense of growth opportunities, Okay. If you're like, always ask, you know, where can I go from here? I'm entering here. Is this the only position, right? Mm-hmm. You want to enter a job where you think that you can grow at least in your skill set.
Yes.
And your paycheck. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There might not be, you know, a VP of something or, you know, a senior creative director, art director, but at the very least, you can progress your career, your pay, you know, your workload and what you're doing.
Yes.
During the interview, if during the interview, they're dismissive about questions that you ask, right, about the place, or it feels rushed, you know, at any point, you know, or they seem like they're really not that interested in answering your questions, then that's kind of probably going to be a reflection of the company's overall attitude towards their employees.
Yeah.
Okay, because if HR is doing this or the people that are interviewing are doing this, can you imagine what it'd be like to then work for those people? Yes. They're not going to give two shits about you thereafter.
They're not going to care at all.
No, yeah. No. So that's the signs during the job interview. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, you know, you know the HR person who interviews you is great, and you start working in the creative department, right? There are some red flags, you know, the first few weeks to keep an eye on, right? In the studio. So, you know, if you notice that there's a lot of stress amongst the people and they're very tense, right? Then obviously there's shit that's going on that you, you know, it's only a matter of time before you're going to be experiencing or feeling, right?
Yeah.
The communication. If there's poor communication practices, right? You know, frequent misunderstandings, questions, you know, that are discouraged. And we're just like, well, just do it.
This is how we do it. So just don't question why we do it.
That's not great. That's not a great environment, right? Oh, micromanagement.
Oh, yes.
Micromanagement would be massive. You don't want to have that environment where you've got somebody working over your shoulder, you know, and telling you how to push this and how to push that and make the black 3% blacker, make the font 2% bigger.
All you are is a tool.
At that point, that's it. And you don't want that environment, right? You know, lack of positive feedback. Like we said, you need positive feedback. This isn't an issue of being praised for every time.
We don't need a parade.
No. But, I mean, know what you're doing right.
Yes.
And what you need adjustments, right? And that's that, you know, again, you're being paid to do a job. Yep. That's fine, right? Yep. So don't expect to get a good job, buddy, every time you do what you're supposed to.
Right.
But positive feedback on, you know, if the client was good, the client liked it, the boss liked it, the team likes it, that's okay. That's a good thing, right?
Yes.
And you know what? Honestly, even though, you know, we always say that a graphic designer's role is to, you know, don't be scared to expand what you're doing, right? But if you're being hired to do one thing and literally, you know, within the first couple of weeks, they're already getting you to do B and C and D without even letting you get settled into A, that might mean that, you know, your responsibilities are going to grow a lot faster than you expect.
That's right.
And if you're not going to get compensated for them, just be prepared that this is just going to be this ongoing cycle that you're going to be stuck in. You have to kind of, you know, kibosh that right away, right?
The old bait and switch.
Really,
you're
though,
hired
right?
for this, but we didn't tell you about the other stuff that you have.
Exactly, right? In all fairness, we're pretty honest here, and we're like, we tell everybody you are limited only to what you're willing to do and learn.
That's right.
Okay, but you're also going to be rewarded based on that,
that's right?
If you're willing to take on more, you're going to be rewarded more. If you just want to come in and do this, then that's what you're being hired for. That's all you're ever going to be.
Yeah, and we're great for utilizing people's strengths.
Absolutely.
Right? Like if you show some sort of adaptability over here in this kind of thing, then you're gonna end up kind of doing that more often, right?
Tell me, right? Like,
because you're good at it, and you like it, right?
Right, yeah. and that's especially if you're good at it, right?
Like, that's the thing. You know, why not?
Mac came here from straight out of college,
yes,
but she was really good at managing all these micro things, and now she like pretty much runs the place more than I do, for God's sake.
Now she's my boss.
She scares me.
She's your boss.
She's my boss. That's pretty funny. I'm sure you can hear me.
Yeah.
Needless to say, though, you know, the thing is, there is benefit to navigating through this shit. Like that whole bullshit about people bouncing from design because of this bad experience. Yeah. What have they learned? They just wasted college. Right? Wasted this whole idea that they had, wasted those years of learning, you know, that's just waste. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Right? Because again,
not to interrupt, it's not fucking digging dishes.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's
not like this job is terrible. It's, you know,
even in the shitty environment, you are still designing.
Yes.
Right? focus on your personal development.
Yes.
Exactly.
There you go.
Use those fuckers. Hey,
right.
I hated that fucking watch company. Okay. It was pretty early on that I realized I hate it, but I knew if I can stick this out for 12 months, it's going to look stellar.
Yes.
On a resume for somebody just coming out of college to say that I was the full in-house designer.
Yeah.
This company, I did their trade show booth. Yeah. I did their watch designs, their branding. It's true because it led to a second job. And within those 2 years with those two shitty experiences I had straight out of college, it probably gave me 5-6 years worth of experience in a short amount of time that I was able to open up my agency right away.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. And then customers came to me right away because they didn't like that other place. They didn't like that environment. And we were able to service all of them because of the amount of experience.
And it was probably a better experience for them.
Fuck yeah. Absolutely.
You didn't have to deal with
one of them is still
English
with us.
Twit.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So is that where you got your package design bug?
100%.
Okay,
100% it was. That's where it started.
Okay,
for sure.
All right. That's cool, right? That's awesome. Yes, right.
And trade show.
And the trade show stuff.
A lot of trial and error with their trade shows, right? Yeah. Because again, that's when I learned. I was on job because, okay, surprise, surprise, college didn't really teach me the difference between RGB and CMYK. That was on the job training that I learned by fucking up a couple jobs. Yeah, and it's oops. But needless to say, right, like, you know, getting into these environments builds this whole personal resilience towards it, right? And that's something that we're going to need long term in this career. So that's why I'm saying it's not all a waste. Mm-hmm. You just got to figure out how to navigate this shit.
Right.
Because let's face it, customers can be crappy,
right?
And not intentionally like bullying like some of the bosses we talk about, but, you know, with their explanation of what they want. Right? You're learning this in these kind of environments. So when you get a customer like this, it's nothing.
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, they're not bullying it. And if they are bullying you, you can just double their rate.
Yes. Right? Exactly. Danger pay.
You know, and the nice thing is once you have no idea what it is you want until you experience what you don't want.
There you go.
And you have no idea how good you have it until you've been screamed at by an idiot boss or his girlfriend who is now your boss. You know, like, you don't know so it's hard to appreciate it, right? So that's why it's like some people, when I read online, they're like, nope, I was only hired to do this. That's all I want to do. And it's like, well, you haven't had that much experience yet, right? When you're in an environment where you can see an entire project from beginning to end on your own because you have learned all those skills, that's so like, wow. But you wouldn't know that unless you did the other side, right? So again, you know, your own personal values grows through these kind of experiences, right? Honestly, just two main things, you know, to remember. Number one, if you are in the shitty environment, okay, if you are and you decide you're going to stick it out for 3, 4, 6 months for, you know, your own values, document everything, okay? Document everything, data, and this is just to cover your ass more than anything, right? Because then again, it's like if they do decide to throw you under the bus, you've got documentation, dates, what was said, what happened, right? You can always take it up. So that's just to cover your ass.
Yeah.
But then number two, on your next interview for the next place, remember to ask the right questions.
Right.
Okay. Make sure you ask because you've lived through this. So ask them about their company culture. Right. Ask them about, you know, the management style that you will be under, what the team dynamics are like, you know, how they handle conflicts, right? Their conflict resolution. Ask these important questions so you don't end up in that same environment. I fucking literally had back-to-back shitty experiences.
Yeah.
And I could have either bounced, you know, and did something else. I was so young, I could have done anything I wanted to.
Yep.
Or started my own place because I didn't want to have a fourth bad experience.
That's right.
College shitty, you know, first job shitty, second job shitty. I was like, okay, three strikes, you're all fucking out. I'm opening up my own place and I'm going to do this my way.
Exactly.
So again, I'm not blaming anybody else, right? This was all on me. And you guys have to remember that, right? It's going to be difficult, but like you just said, Sean, we're being paid to design.
That's the thing. Exactly. And you know, to kind of get the theme all in here, fear of what is next, like what you had, is part of the fun of this.
I love this.
It's good to be scared a little bit.
Oh, I think that's good. I love
and
that.
I'm sure you were frightened a little bit when you started your own agency.
I had so much rage and anger that I
okay, that
maybe
works.
The fear. Maybe there was fear, but it was mass.
Okay, that everybody operates in a different way. But yeah, I'm also saying from my experience.
Okay,
like,
okay.
I was scared as hell, but it was like, this is the best thing I could do right
ever.
Now.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's no excuse. There's really no excuse to jettison this altogether.
No, not at all, right? Because the only person that's going to lose
is you.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That was such a nice thing. That's a nice way to end, right?
Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
We're so sensitive.
Oh, we're so sensitive. Fuck you, Sean. I hope you guys like what you heard today. We got to keep this to an hour, so we're gonna quickly finish this bad boy up.
Yes.
You know what? Leave us your experiences. Tell us what happened. I hope you gleaned at least some. You know, like didn't like on any of this. You want to say thank you to our boys over at Sons of Thunder Studios for this awesome swag, for the awesome posters. Oh my God, this is just awesome. Mm-hmm. And by all means, guys, share us with anybody who's going through this kind of shit. Yeah. Let them know that, you know, that they can balance not to leave the industry, just leave their situation. Okay? Because what we're doing, fucking best job in the
best
world.
Best gig
ever.
In the world. That's
ever.
Right. Tough it out.
That's right.
Yes.
Check us out, obviously, on Instagram. You know, we're there. Join the conversations. We're on YouTube. Share us with everybody you love and hate. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're fucking everywhere now, right?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. All right, everybody. My name's Massimo.
And my name's Sean.
Stay creative.
Stay angry.
And stay employed.
Peace.